Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here. Welcome back to Tesla Daily. Today we are of course going to be talking about the National Highway Traffic and Safety Administration opening up a preliminary evaluation of Tesla's autopilot. We'll talk about exactly what that is, the steps in the process, and how significant these things might be. Over the weekend then, we did get, as expected, the next version of the FSD beta, so version 9.2 did go out to that limited access group, and Elon shared a little bit more of the technical details behind this release, so we'll do our best to break those down. Then we've got updates on Berlin, Model Y, the shareholder meeting, and a couple other things as well. So we did have a tougher start to the week this week for Tesla stock. Obviously, the NHTSA news probably did have an impact on that performance today. Tesla finishing down 4.3% to $686.17. That did compare to the NASDAQ, which did have a rough start to the day, but recovered and finished down just 0.2%. All right, so lots of reporting this morning on the NHTSA investigation. It looks like this was actually opened up on Friday, but probably not noticed much until today. We'll bypass the media reporting on this and just go straight to the NHTSA release, which can sometimes be pretty difficult to find. They say that since January 2018, the Office of Defects Investigation has identified 11 crashes in which Tesla models of various configurations have encountered first responder scenes and subsequently struck one or more vehicles involved with those scenes. They say that in those crashes, the involved subjects were all confirmed to have been engaged in either autopilot or traffic-aware cruise control during the approach to the crashes. As for what the investigation will entail, they say it's a preliminary evaluation of the Level 2 Advanced Driver Assistance System autopilot for model years 2014 to 2021, Model S, 3, X, and Y. Quote, the investigation will assess the technologies and methods used to monitor, assist, and enforce the driver's engagement with the dynamic driving task during autopilot operation. The investigation will additionally assess the object and event detection and response by vehicles when engaged in autopilot mode, and operational design domain in which the autopilot mode is functional. The investigation will also include examination of the contributing circumstances for the confirmed crashes listed below and other similar crashes, end quote. Okay, so kind of a lot to unpack there, but first thing is this is a preliminary evaluation, so this is an initial phase of a NHTSA investigation, the results of which determine if it goes on to the next stage, which is engineering analysis, or if the investigation is closed at that point. These preliminary evaluations, these investigations that are being opened up by NHTSA are not some super rare event. For example, I found that at the end of last year, there were 32 active preliminary evaluations going on at that point. NHTSA says that most preliminary evaluations are resolved within 4 months, and then if it does go to engineering analysis, they say those are generally resolved within 1 year. That is what determines whether or not a recall is required. Of course, in Tesla's case, if it does end up getting to that point where a recall is required, oftentimes, Tesla can resolve those things with over-the-air software updates. So one of the items that NHTSA mentioned investigating there was the ability to monitor, assist, and enforce driver's engagement, which we already know Tesla has been working on improving already through driver monitoring with the interior cabin camera. Now, I did see a lot of people saying that engagement was all that NHTSA was looking at. That's not the case. So as I mentioned, they're also looking at the object and event detection and response, which is obviously a really big chunk of the autopilot functionality. And then I guess most concerning to me as a user is the ODD, operational design domain. So that would be where and under what circumstances autopilot is available to be engaged. To me, that's one of my favorite things about autopilot and about Tesla is that they're willing to let it be engaged in a lot of different circumstances. And I believe that results in a better product for the customer and allows Tesla to more rapidly advance the technology, ultimately saving more lives in the future through safer autonomous driving. The failure report summary for this investigation by NHTSA notes one fatality, and obviously every fatality is sad, but they are far too frequent when vehicles are involved. Each year in the United States, about 35,000 people are killed in car accidents. That's about 100 people every single day. Tesla each quarter does share accident statistics on their fleet. We've talked about this many times. It does look like the active safety features do result in a lower accident frequency. You could argue the same for autopilot, but it's a little bit less clear because there might be some selection bias there of autopilot only actually being able to be used in safer circumstances. But that doesn't apply when you're comparing just, okay, does the car have active safety features or not? And if they do, Tesla's vehicles consistently within their own fleet are getting in fewer accidents, which wouldn't be the case if autopilot was causing those accident rates to spike up. So despite the data that Tesla shares publicly, I'm sure they have other internal data that can pretty thoroughly prove that out to NHTSA, and I'm sure Tesla's already shared a ton of that through previous interactions. Remember, Elon has said as recently as April that NHTSA is fair and sensible. He also said back in April that NHTSA is great, so it doesn't seem like Elon feels like NHTSA has been overly restrictive in the past. Understanding that higher level context is important, this does seem to be a little bit more pointed of an investigation though. specifically around accidents involving first responders. This sort of situation where there is a stationary object in the road has seemed to be a significant problem for Tesla and for other traffic-aware cruise control systems too from other automakers. But here again, this is something that Tesla is working on, and the shift over to Pure Vision is something that should, in theory, help this a lot. So the two big things here, driver engagement and then just recognition of stationary objects and what to do in those circumstances, both things that Tesla is already working on well before any organization had to ask Tesla to do something to fix it. Back in early July, when Tesla did shift over to Pure Vision for the FSD Beta 9.0 release, Elon did say that Tesla will soon capture ambulance and police lights, though to be fair, he did say something similar back at the end of 2018, but hopefully now with the move over to Pure Vision, some of that stuff can start to get implemented. Even setting aside future developments and just isolating in on how things have gone in the past, I did do some research on struck-by-vehicle fatalities for first responders, as again, that is the circumstance that NHTSA is focusing on here, and I found that according to the Emergency Responder Safety Institute, that back in 2019, there were 44 emergency responders killed in roadside incidents. That was up to 46 in 2020, and then 37 this year through July, so not sure what the seasonality is there, but on pace for somewhere like 60 this year. So NHTSA is looking at these incidents for Tesla since January 2018. That means about 3.5 years. Over that 3.5 years, there's unfortunately probably been about 180 fatalities for first responders in roadside incidents. It's important to understand that that doesn't count people that may have been involved that are not first responders, so the person causing the crash or other bystanders. So the actual number of fatalities for those incidents is likely quite a bit higher. In Tesla's case, I'm not sure if that one fatality was for a first responder or for somebody else involved in the incident, but that's one fatality in likely well over 200 over this 3.5 year period of time. That likely puts Tesla's involvement at less than 0.5% of these fatal incidents over that period. Obviously, that doesn't mean much without the rest of the context from how many vehicle miles Tesla is driving as a percent of total. That's also a bit tricky to nail down, but it looks like in general the US drives about 3.2 trillion miles per year. I don't know exactly how many miles Tesla's fleet would have driven over that same period, but NHTSA estimates this investigation is for about 765,000 vehicles. The average vehicle in the United States does about 13,500 miles per year, but males skew higher and Tesla demographics skew more male to about 80%. So my guess is that the average Tesla is being driven maybe 15,000 miles a year, could be off on that. But that would mean those 765,000 Teslas would be driven about 11.5 billion miles in the US each year, which is a bit more than 0.33% of the total miles driven. Now, of course, Tesla's been ramping up production, so if we are looking for a time period back to the start of 2018, the total percent of miles driven is going to be quite a bit smaller. But at the end of the day, you're looking at sort of the same significant digit. You're talking 0.1% of the miles driven and 0.1% of the fatalities from these roadside incidents. And obviously, when you're talking about one fatal incident here for Tesla, the significance of that rate is not super high. It doesn't seem like Tesla is some huge outlier here in terms of involvement in these types of incidents versus what would just naturally occur with that size of fleet. It is important to just once more emphasize that I'm not working with a ton of data here. NHTSA and Tesla would both have more. For example, just the number of incidents, fatal or not, would be much more statistically meaningful. And although we've got that number for Tesla from this investigation, I don't have the general number to compare with. Still, at the end of the day, for all these things that we've talked about, the future improvements, the statistics that I've gone through, NHTSA's general process, I don't find a lot of reason here to be concerned. The one other thing I would say is that if you go through and you look at these incidents, a lot of them have other extenuating circumstances involved, which emphasizes the flawed nature of humans driving cars in the first place. If you just look at the incidents this year, which you can see all the locations and dates listed out here by NHTSA, if we just look at San Diego this year, the driver was arrested on suspicion of driving under the influence. Miami, not a lot of information on that one. Lansing, Michigan, the driver was given a citation for driving on a suspended license. Then Montgomery, Texas, February this year, the driver there was also taken into custody on a DWI charge. So of the four this year, two DWIs, one driving without a suspended license. Hard for Tesla to have much responsibility for those circumstances. If you want to go through the other incidents, we'll put the locations here on screen. Final thought on this, I know we've probably spent too much time on this already, but I think this needs to be mentioned every time this issue comes up, is just considering the positive impact of Tesla's autopilot and other driver assistance systems is just as important, if not more important, than looking into the negative situations like this. As I tweeted out earlier today, NHTSA does publish estimates for the number of lives saved every single year by seatbelts, airbags, even minimum age alcohol laws. I would love to see them start estimating the number of lives saved from driver assistance systems. If they can do it for alcohol laws, I'm not sure why they couldn't do the same for advanced driver assistance systems. It's obviously going to continue to be a bumpy road as autonomous driving continues to be developed, but at this point, that's our best shot in reducing those tens of thousands of automotive fatalities every year. Having some numbers that help support that, if those numbers exist, don't just make them up, obviously, but if those numbers are out there, having those available, I think would help ensure continued progress. All right, let's move on to something a little bit more fun in the autonomous driving realm, and that is the beta version 9.2 that did go out this weekend after a small delay there on Friday. And as kind of a bonus, this time Elon did tweet out a screenshot of an email to him describing the improvements in 9.2. So there are 7 bullets here, some a bit technical, which I'll do my best to break down. Obviously not an expert on some of those things, but first bullet, clear to go, boost through turns on minor to major roads, plan to expand to all roads in version 9.3. So I interpret this as the clear to go boost through turns, essentially meaning more acceleration through turns. And I think minor to major roads there, probably relatively intuitive, but we don't know exactly how Tesla's defining that. But remember, there are basically 2 code bases right now for on-highway and off-highway. This would seem to refer to just the off-highway stuff. So maybe minor to major here in this context means going from something like a single lane road to a multi-lane road within the city. Anyway, I would think that would make the system feel a lot more decisive through the turns having that additional acceleration. Hopefully that'll help in scenarios like Chuck Cook's unprotected left turn, though he did do a demo with 9.2, didn't seem to improve much in this case. Sounds like it actually may have been a little bit of a step backwards, but maybe that'll improve as this expands to more roads with 9.3. The second bullet out of the 7 reads improved peak behavior, where we are smarter about when to go around the lead vehicle by reasoning about the causes for lead vehicle being slow. So peak behavior here just means taking a quick look if there's a slow car in front, trying to get a little bit more context before deciding if the Tesla needs to go around that slower lead car. Bullet 3 reads V1 of the multimodal predictions for where other vehicles expected to drive. This is only partially consumed for now. This could be a pretty significant update. It's a little bit tough for us to understand without more context here, but it sounds like instead of predicting one path for other vehicles, it would predict multiple paths with a distribution of probabilities, which from what I've read seems to improve response to less expected maneuvers. Maybe something we'll hear a little bit more about at AI Day. Bullet 4 reads, new lanes network with 50,000 more clips, almost double, from the new auto labeling pipeline. So I think that one's pretty self-explanatory, but Tesla basically saying that using auto labeling, they've been able to add 50,000 more clips for their lanes network, probably their lane determination neural network. Almost certainly something we'll hear more about at AI Day. Not the first time we've heard about auto labeling. You may remember on the Q1 call, Elon had said that they already are doing auto labeling, which would be when a neural network determines actually how to label items in a scene that actually goes into the training data. So this is really what Dojo is all about. But it's great to hear that they were able to double their auto-labeled clips in such a short period of time here. Bullet 5 reads new VRU velocity model with 12% improvements to velocity and better VRU clear-to-go performance. This is the first model trained with quantization-aware training, an improved technique to mitigate INT8 quantization. A lot in there, so we'll break that down. VRU is vulnerable road user, so anyone not in a car basically. So a 12% improvement to the velocity model for vulnerable road users. Now 12% improvement on what aspect? I'm not entirely sure. My guess is either it's accuracy in terms of the actual readout matching reality, perhaps a 12% closer match in that accuracy, or perhaps a 12% faster output from the model, but my guess is really more towards that accuracy side. That's really where the second part of this statement comes in. So they talk about quantization. Quantization error is basically the difference between the input and the output value. That in this case results from the limited precision of the calculations. So INT8 limits Tesla's precision. Increasing quantization error versus something that would use 16-bit or 32-bit precision. The benefit of using INT8 is that it uses less resources, so calculations can happen more quickly and use less memory. So quantization-aware training, by being aware of those errors up front, can effectively reduce the error and improve accuracy while maintaining the benefit of the lower precision INT8. So good things, having a more accurate representation of vulnerable road users' velocity will help Tesla. Here they say it results in better clear-to-go performance, so less hesitancy when pedestrians or other VRUs are around. We'll move on to bullet 6 then, which reads, enabled inter-system on a chip, synchronous compute scheduling between vision and vector space processes, planar in the loop is happening in V10. So as we know, Tesla's full self-driving chip, hardware 3, is 2 chips really, so one is there for redundancy purposes, but Tesla here saying that they have synchronous compute happening. So leveraging both chips, which is great unless you need it for redundancy purposes, which actually at this point Tesla does not need until things are fully autonomous. So they can leverage the compute that they have now and build more efficient networks in the future, or obviously they can upgrade the hardware. Not sure exactly on the planar in the loop part is happening in version 10, so if anyone has any thoughts on that, let me know in the comments. Finally then, point 7, which reads, Shadow Mode for New Crossing / Merging Targets Network, which will help improve VRU control. So Shadow Mode we know about, that'll run Tesla's processes in the background without actually taking control, compare the output to what the actual driver is doing, in this case for crossing or merging targets, which could be somebody on a bicycle, since here they specifically call out VRUs, which again, vulnerable road users. So I know at first glance maybe that tweet didn't mean a whole lot to a lot of people, but hopefully that helps clarify at least some of the things there. It's pretty fascinating. I hope Elon will continue to share updates like that in future versions. Speaking of, Elon did give us a bit of an update in terms of their future version plan. So he said 9.3, then probably 9.4. Then after that, maybe jumping to 10, which will be a significant architecture change. And when he previously said we might see the release of the so-called button for a wider expansion of FSD beta in the US. Somebody asked about that specifically, and Elon said that it might be in beta 10 or maybe 10.1. Quote, going to pure vision set us back initially. Vision plus coarse radar had us trapped in a local maximum, like a level cap. Pure vision requires fairly advanced real-world AI, but that's how our whole road system is designed to work, neural networks with vision, end quote. So if we continue to see updates every 2 weeks, going from 9.2 right now all the way up to 10.1, would mean about 2 months, so mid-October for a wider release, but I definitely wouldn't hold my breath on that timeline. Also, something possibly happening in October would be related to Giga Berlin. Elon obviously was over there last week, and he, in a short interview, said that they are hoping for final approval for Giga Berlin sometime in October. In a separate tweet then, Elon also mentioned that they are going to be doing a factory tour on October 9th. So hopefully, even if they don't have final approval, looks like maybe that would be the date where they're feeling good about things being ready, able to show off, maybe having some trial production at least, if not final approval, and actual production. That will shortly follow another event, which was announced last week, and that'll be the annual shareholder meeting for Tesla, which Tesla is scheduled for Thursday, October 7th at 2:30 p.m. Pacific time at the Fremont factory. Next, we've got a quick update on the US Model Y. So we've been keeping an eye on estimated delivery dates for Tesla vehicles. The Model Y long range has now shifted out to an estimated delivery of January. We saw this with the Model 3 Standard Range Plus last week. Now the Model Y long range also pushing out to deliveries next year. If people want their car sooner, strong incentive there to order the more expensive performance versions. All right, last few quick things here, and then we got to wrap it up because we got to get this episode out to you guys. One exciting update is that as Tesla stated in their last 10Q, Tesla should have now paid off their $1.8 billion recourse debt due in August of 2025. That'll cut Tesla's interest payments down, that'll improve their earnings per share each quarter, and should help with their credit ratings, but these organizations seem to move very slowly with their upgrades, but maybe that repayment will help spark something in those regards. Another story you may have seen some headlines on today is about Scion Asset Management, so Michael Burry's fund. They've released their 13F filing for their most recent quarter, and as we talked about last quarter, they had a put options position on Tesla, so meaning they're betting on Tesla to go down under a certain amount of time. Hopefully people remember the context from when we discussed this last quarter, when Burry disclosed put options for an underlying 800,000 shares, the underlying value of which gets reported on the 13F, and then that gets misreported on by the media as the actual position, even though that disclosure tells us very little about the actual value of the position itself. I went through the math on this last time, but it could be as small as just a few million dollars, which for the size of his fund would not be really anything at all. Also, because these are options positions, they do have a time element, so they could be traded in and out of, and really this is just giving us one snapshot, one day at the end of the quarter. So with that refresher on the context, we did get the 13F, and it shows an increase in that put position. So now a little over a million underlying shares. Those shares themselves would be worth about $731 million at the end of the quarter, but the value of Burry's position or the bet that he's making could be much, much, much smaller than that. So if you see anyone saying that there's a $730 million bet against Tesla, that is not correct. Similarly, Burry added a short position against ARK via puts on the ARK Innovation ETF, 235,000 underlying shares, which would have a value of $31 million. But again, that does not tell us anything about the size of the bet against ARK either. Last piece of news here then is that one of Tesla's battery suppliers, CATL, has raised $9 billion to fund battery projects and increase production. So good news there, especially as it seems as though CATL is becoming a bigger percent of Tesla's supply. All right, coming to the end of a long episode here, I did just want to take a second to say thank you for all the positive comments on the live stream at the end of last week. I really do appreciate those. We've got a great group of listeners here, and that really shines through. Certainly does not go unnoticed, so thank you. With that, we'll wrap it up. As always, thanks for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and sign up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and I'll see you tomorrow for the Tuesday, August 17th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.